Velkommen til podcasten til SIM, Sogndal Indremisjonsforsamling. Så kjekt at du lytter. Vi ønsker å være en generasjonskirke i Sogndal som bryr seg. Vil du vite mer? Sjekk oss ut på sogndalimf.no. Og nå til søndagens preike.
Hello everyone, I will talk English. I understand Norwegian, but doing this in Norwegian would be a hot mess for all of us. So I'm speaking English. I hope that's fine. My name is Noah. I'm a German, 23 years old, married to a Norwegian girl from Sogndal. To everyone who hasn't met me and her yet, she's at a camp, Christian camp, today, so she's not here. But today I just want to share a little bit, mostly what God has done in my life before and what we can learn from it, or what, just some truth that God has put on my heart and reminded me of many times. We have a PowerPoint. Let's see if that one works. I don't know which button to press. I'm just pressing some buttons. Oh, there we go. So, before we begin, take notes. If you get reminded of something from God, it's not because I've prepared such an amazing, crazy good sermon, but it's about keeping track of what God is teaching you. If you get reminded of something, if you get a picture, or if just something that is God is speaking to you, just keep track of it. What I always think back to was when the Israelites were crossing the Jordan River, and God was parting the river for them, and the whole nation went through that river, and he told them to take 12 stones from the riverbeds, from the middle of the river, and put it on the other side, and build, I don't know, pile of stones, to remember what God has done for them. And if you look into the history of Israel, basically it's just a lot of back and forth between God pulling the Israelites out of misery, telling them, hey, I'm your God, come to me with all your problems. And then the Israelites forget again, and they start doing dumb things again. So it's very important to remember. It's important to remember what God has done. And in your life, what he talks about in the Bible, so keep track of it. If you take notes with your phone, just turn off your notifications. I have way too many times been interrupted by a notification and I forgot what I wanted to write down. And that was not so fun. So, we're just going to go through, let me count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 points. I'll just say a little bit to everything. Yeah, hope that God speaks. God is always as close as we let him. That's something I've learned the last years. Love doesn't force itself on you. God is love, and God doesn't force himself on you. He's made it possible for us to come close to him again through Jesus, but he's never going to force you. He loved you. It's kind of uncomprehendable to me that Jesus not only went to this earth and died for us and went through all this misery and took the cross instead of us and made it possible for us to be close to him again. Not only that, he loved us so much that he gave us a choice to say yes to that or not. So God is always as close as we let him. It has a lot to do with surrender. I shared a little bit on a camp that we were on in Lyngmo now in January as well. Where basically a few years ago, I was struggling a lot. That was back in Germany. I was struggling a lot with depression and social anxiety, and I was a mess. and fighting a lot with God about why is this happening, that I just why was I diagnosed with depression? Why is that fair? How does that make sense? And how do I get out of it? I'm Christian. Am I not supposed to live a perfect life? Am I not supposed? I have every reason to be happy. So why is my body telling me otherwise? And I was fighting a lot with God about it. It came to the point where I was throwing myself down on the ground. At some point, I used to go out to the fields, and it was like sunset, and I always went there, and I just went on my knees, and I just told God, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to live anymore. This is horrible. I don't want to do this. And God said, well, great, now I can start. Because before, I never gave him the chance to do something about it. I always tried to control everything and be happy all by myself. And I didn't let God close to me. So, yeah. I needed to learn it the hard way. God is always as close as we let him. Next one. Gospel is simple. I think as humanity, tend to overcomplicate a lot of things. Christianity is a lot to talk about and a lot to get really deep into, and that's wonderful, and we will never understand God completely, right? God is above us. We can't fully comprehend God. But the gospel is very simple. The gospel is just Jesus fixing the problem or the mistake that we made, the first two humans, made the problem that they sinned. And so every human that came after them also sinned, or was part of that. So we weren't able to be close to God again because he is without sin. And Jesus fixed that for us because he took that punishment instead of us and said, I made it possible for you again. Will you come? Will you take my invitation? There's a few couples that got engaged in January and December now. And I kind of just picture God being on his knees in front of us, in front of humanity, and saying, do you want to come close or come back to me again, back to relationship with me? So the gospel is simple. Don't overcomplicate things. God is just waiting there to let him, for you to let him close again. Next one. Come as you are, but don't stay as you are. We always say, come as you are. It's always great. The church is always inviting, which is the point. The gospel is for everyone. You don't have to earn anything. You don't have to pretend. You don't have to put on a performance. Come as you are, yes. But don't stay as you are. Because the closer you get to God, the more you're going to get changed. I also wrote, true surrender brings transformation. True surrender brings transformation. Why? Because in English we use this wonderful word, sanctification, which basically means being made more holy. The closer you're going to come to God, the more you're going to become like him. And that's going to hurt, because your flesh doesn't like that. So don't stay as you are. That's not the goal. You don't come to God to just continue your sinful life. Be transformed by him. Seek to be transformed by him. There's a very popular two prayers that people get told to pray when they become a Christian. And that's, God, show me who I am. And then, God, show me who you are. And it really shows, God really shows the difference between who I am, a very sinful and incomplete, unperfect person, and who he is, the loving God that he is. Only the Father is truly good. But I think it's just to remind us that we shouldn't fall for the trap to think that we're any better because we play in the worship team, or we stand on the stage, or we're serving in any way other people, you're not any better. Even Jesus said that only the Father is good. So it's not about your performance, right? This is not like, oh, don't do good things, but understand me right. Only the Father is good, and it's not about performance. God is faithful. We turn from God in hard times. He doesn't turn on us. Like I said, this story with my depression and then actually God healing me from it. Just after I, you know, went down on my knees and said, God, I can't do this anymore. And then he said, well, now I can start. And then we went through a whole process of transformation and God showing me that he's not as scary as I think he is or thought he is. Often I was running from God when I did something wrong instead of to him. And kind of punishing myself instead of just running to God, you know, thinking that, oh, now I did something wrong. Now I have to be shameful for a few days and then I can come back to God. I'm not able to come back to God right away, which is totally not the truth. I don't think we understand how complete his forgiveness actually is. Next one is kind of the same. In hard times, don't run from God, run to him. It reminded me of the parable of the lost son who goes away from his family, gambles away all his money that he got from his family, ends up in the ditches with the pigs, and then decides to come back. And in our human thinking, the father has every right to just reject him and say, well, you've played all your money away. You said you wanted to go, so you went. So why are you coming back now? But in that story that Jesus is telling, the father is already running towards him. And that just hits me so much that the very second that we decide to turn back to God and or like turn back around and say, God, I'm coming back to you, he's already running towards you. And it wrecks me every time. So many times that I've experienced that it was me that was running away from God. It was me that was not letting him close. And still, after so many times of rejection, he still is running back to me. He's still running towards me. He's still pursuing me. He's still on his knees in front of me saying, will you take this gift? It's amazing. My faith should be bigger than my logic. Proverbs 3:5-6 is a very famous verse. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Funny enough, in the same in the same chapter, like on verse 21, 22, it says that you should pursue wisdom and good decision making. So make that make sense. But my faith should be bigger than my logic, as in I should trust God even though I don't understand what he's doing. If he tells me, go to Norway, go to do a Bible school there for 6 months. You've never been there. You're very bad at speaking English. And you don't have the money at all. And it's like 60,000 crowns. Yeah, no worries. Then you don't question that. I mean, I did thousands of times. But your faith should be bigger than your logic. And I said, God, I really don't understand what you're trying to do. I really don't know why you're sending me there. It's a beautiful country. No front. But this seems very unnecessarily harsh. They have the same Bible school in Germany. They have the same organization there. They have like 5 different cities. I can go there. No. Go there. So I chose faith. Now I'm married to a Norwegian. Yeah. God was thinking, planning a bit more than me. But yeah, your faith should be bigger than your logic. Don't seek to understand what God is doing before you trust him. Because you're never going to get it. Right? And if he's going to tell you all the steps that he's trying to lead you and what he's trying to do, you might never go. So sometimes that seems a bit radical. Sometimes you seem a bit stupid. All of my church, all of my youth group in Germany thought I was losing my mind. I was like around 60,000 crowns in debt. I just had enough money to take the plane to Oslo and the train from Oslo to Hama. Yeah, that was about it. Maybe a few hundred crowns more. And I said, okay, God, I'm trusting you. Either I'm going to take the school or it's going to be a very short weekend trip to Oslo. Either way, pretty fun. But I ended up taking 3 months out of six. The rest was interrupted by Corona. But God provided everything. On the last day, on the due date for all my finances should have been paid, I didn't have enough money, of course. And I was meeting with this guy who was responsible for all the finances for the school and everything. So he was meeting with me. He said, hey, let's go for a walk. We can talk about it. So I told him and I said, hey, I asked everyone. I asked all of my family. I asked all of my friends if they want to give this to a good cause. They're all Christians. Some gave some, but I still don't have enough by far. I was lacking like, I don't know, 25,000 or something. And he said, okay. He listened to everything and he said, okay, let's pray. I said, well, yeah, that's so Christian. Great. I thought you were going to do something more than that. And so we prayed and he started and he said, God, we believe that you sent Noah here to do the school, so you also have to provide for it. And I was standing there, I was like, oi, this is a change in perspective. And he went on about it like that, and he said, God, we thank you that we stand right in front of this big miracle that you're going to do. I was like, oh, okay. I say amen to that. I didn't pray much after that. I was like, yeah, sure. Let's go. So then he went. I went. 2-3 days go by. And no, actually, that's not true. It was on the same day. I was in a room with three other guys, two around my age. One was like 40 or something. And I was walking by my room and this older guy was in there. And he pulled me into our room, closed the door and said, hey, Noah, I heard you're having a little bit of financial problems. And I think God is telling me to cover all of it. I was like, oh, okay. I mean, sure. If God told you that. And then he said, no, hold on. Only for the first 3 months, not the other three. I was like, what? No, we were already there. You're going to cover all of it. No. Only the first three. Okay. I looked up how much I need. Yeah, this is how much I need for the first 3 months. Okay. 2-3 days go by. He comes with an envelope packed with cash. I go to the accountant's office and counts my money and, yeah, okay, good. That's all. My faith should be bigger than my logic. I can't explain that. Right? But I never would have gotten that proof of God's faithfulness if I wouldn't have said yes and went. So I think a lot of times we actually hinder God from showing us how much he wants to provide by saying, no, that doesn't make sense. No, that just, yeah, I can't explain it, so I'm not going to do it. Long story short. Yeah, finding life is losing yours. Like Jesus said, surrender your life. Not only your time at church, not only this time on Sunday evenings, not only Bible group time, not only the time that you spend reading your Bible, but also your finances and your wife and your kids, if you have them, and your house. and all that you have. Because if you, for example, don't surrender that, and God is calling you to give it up, what are you going to do? Then you're not able to follow God. Then you're not able to obey Him. We're called to lay down our life, so then we're going to find it. And the Bible talks a lot of times about life as in being close to God, and death as in being away from Him, as in hell, which is basically what it is. Start with gratitude. Shift in perspective. I'm going to make this short. This is basically what I already talked about. Start with gratitude, like this finance guy was praying. He said, thank you, God, that we're standing right in front of this big miracle. So it changed my perspective. I said, oh, wow. That's a different way to pray. Oh, yeah. I added this one last minute. If it's going to show up, keep the Sabbath holy. We're made in God's image. He rested on the seventh day, so why aren't we? I don't think I have to say more than that. Keep it holy. There's something holy in rest. It's something that God does. And that's a bit hard to do in hustle culture. May it be American or Norwegian or European or whatever. You have to fight for that. We have to fight for that. Yes, here's a summary. God bless.
Tusen takk for at du lyttet til podcasten vår. Håper budskapet har gjort dagen din litt rikere. Må Gud velsigne deg akkurat der du er. Ønsker deg en god, fin uke.